Today, Jesus gives us our marching orders. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? I mean, what a difference it makes in a person's life when they believe that God cares for us, that God will never abandon us, that God's intimately involved in our life, that God has our best interests at heart, that God the Father sent His Son into the world not only to save us, but to give us messages of His love, of His personal involvement in our life. But St. Peter says that. That's the quote. It's from St. Peter's first letter that I use every Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because the Lord cares for you. I want to share a scripture passage with you. It comes from chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," said Jesus, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed Him. Do you find that amazing? Do you find that here these two fishermen, they're known for being rugged, uneducated, prove it to me kind of people. And here's a total stranger calling them to follow Him. And He says something kind of remarkable, don't you think? Or at least it's something that had to cause them to think, "Fishers of men? I'll make you fishers of men?" You know, they would have been literalists. They would have taken words literally. What did He mean by that? We've never seen men swimming around in the Sea of Galilee. And yet, at once, this passage says, they left their nets and followed Jesus. You know, for all the years, 2000 now, when that scripture passage has been read, you know who it's usually applied to? It's applied to religious men and women, brothers, sisters, in religious life, or to priests. "Come follow me." But I have to tell you, I think that's too narrow of an interpretation. I believe that is extended to all people, not those consecrated religious life or those called to priestly ordination. I think we all have to come and follow Jesus. You know, that was a call given to us at baptism. Well, as babies, we can't follow through on that. It's a call that we hear again at confirmation. And depending when you were confirmed, you had more of an adult understanding maybe of it. But even then, I've done enough confirmation retreats to know, especially if the students about to be confirmed are eighth graders, that they're not at that point in their life, or rarely I find one, who's going to have that wholehearted commitment to Jesus. Because they have other things on their mind. You know, school, friendships, sports, part-time job. And these things don't have to necessarily come between Jesus and a person. But nonetheless, since their life is just starting to unfold as young adolescents, they really don't have all the tools to understand what it means to follow Jesus to this extent. So somewhere in our adult life, it has to click in. It has to be when we now know that no matter what our career is and what our final vocation is, single, married, religious, priest, that all of that has to be rooted in Jesus. It has to be rooted into a commitment of following Jesus with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole mind, with our whole commitment. And all of us have to do that. Because Jesus wants us to make this world His kingdom. He needs our eyes, our hands, our hearts. He needs us to do that in our homes, in our cars, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our military, in our governments. Most of the problems in our world is when people separate their politics from their religious beliefs. You can't do that. That's being a schizophrenic Christian. You have to be able to live your values in such a way that people know that Jesus is the reason that you exist. Why you get up in the morning. Why you work hard. Why you're honest. Why you're compassionate. Why you're forgiving. We're all called to follow Jesus. Now, we won't follow Jesus, no matter what our way of life is, our age, our health, our economics, our education. We won't say yes to Jesus' invitation, come follow me, like Simon, Peter, and Andrew did instantaneously, at once, it says, unless the invitation is really attractive. Now, who makes the invitation really attractive? Well, as you're growing up, it has to be the adults. It has to be your grandparents and your parents. It has to be your aunts and your uncles. It has to be your teachers and your priests, your minister, whoever it might be. We're the people, and I consider myself in that group now, in my senior years. We're the people who have to make it look attractive. We have to display a joy in our life. As Nietzsche said, if Christians are supposed to be redeemed, why don't they act like it? We have to show that joy that comes from having a close personal relationship with Jesus. It has to permeate every aspect of our life. I often say in my counseling and spiritual direction, act the way you want to be. If you want to be joyful, start acting like that. Don't wait until you have some exceptional day, the perfect day. On the days when you're not feeling so hot, on the days when you are worried, on the days when you are a little perturbed with somebody, you decide to act joyful. You have to act the way you want to be. That's how you get to that state of mind. That's not being a phony. You act at it. Practice makes perfect. You make a decision. Just like Simon, Peter, and Andrew had to make a decision to leave their nets and follow Jesus. And they weren't sure where it was going to take them. As I said, they probably didn't quite understand what Jesus meant when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Because they were simple literalists, took words seriously, at face value. But there was something terribly attractive about Jesus' invitation. And the look in his eyes, the way the words came out. His body posture. That has to be the case with all of us. So that when strangers meet us, when co-workers meet us, when people who play golf with us or any other sport meet us, they see the peace that Jesus promised and the joy that Jesus said no one can take away. None of us can excuse ourselves from this wholehearted, all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. None of us can excuse ourselves from living our vocation that way because we're really not Christians then. Christianity is not a part-time job. It's a full-time commitment. It's a life commitment. And what it is, it's a real alternative to much of what is called living today. What do I mean by that? Well, much of what's living today is people living quiet lives of desperation. People trying to fill up the emptiness in their life with material comforts. People rushing around after the latest fad. People who are trying to keep up with the Joneses. And yet, St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Nothing will satisfy us. Somehow Simon, Peter, and Andrew were able to leave the nets and follow Jesus at once because he sparked something in them that had that part of their life that always seemed incomplete. He gave them the impression that he would show them how their lives could be complete. Little did they know at that moment that the way their life was going to be complete was by a close personal relationship with Jesus. And through the Eucharist, when it comes to the point where Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then at that point, the emptiness was not filled up with a prayer, a song, a ministry. It was filled up with Jesus himself. And they could feel the power. None of us can afford to wait. Anybody listening to this program right now, if you've been hedging your bet, if you've been waffling, if you've been back and forth thinking, "Well, I should follow Jesus wholeheartedly, but I'm afraid," you hand that fear over to Jesus. You take that first step. You let Jesus guide you. He's our way, our truth, our life, our strength, and he'll do that. He'll do that for you. Don't wait. You can't afford to wait. Our prayer partners today are people with hearing disability. They're deaf people. They can't hear. They live in silence. Ask God to bless them, okay? Ask God to be there, to send good people into their life. Okay, today's food for thought. May you have the hindsight to know where you've been, the foresight to know where you're going, and the insight to know when you're going too far. Okay, that's really clever. Let me say it again. So it's actually a wish, isn't it? May you have the hindsight to know where you've been, so you don't make the mistakes again. The foresight to know where you're going, so you have your plan to follow Jesus. And the insight to know when you're going too far away from Jesus. Today's attempt to make you smile or laugh. Okay. A rabbit, you're going to boo this one. A rabbit and a duck went out to dinner. Who paid? The duck, he had the bill. Hey, you got to laugh, right? Would you like to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Send me your prayer intentions. Just drop me a note and say you listened to the program. If you want to receive my newsletter, it comes out 6 times a year. It's for free. Just say you want to receive that, and I'll send it to you. If you want to help me keep my hospital for the very poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, you can send me a check. Make it out to Tash, T-A-S-H, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And don't forget, if you're comfortable with the Internet, visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.